All right. So SP, good to meet you finally. I come all the way from Los Angeles, and I had attended a conference in Seoul a few days ago, and Pastor Sam had graciously extended an invitation for me to come and minister to you. So I'm really excited. Your reputation precedes you. You're a church that loves God, and you are a church committed to making an impact in the marketplace and in the world in a radical way. So I can't help but to feel at home during the praise time and even as we dig deeper into God's word. So thank you again for the opportunity to come. And that was my long introduction. So now I'm ready to preach God's word. So would you please meet me in the book of Philippians, if you have your Bibles. Chapter 1. This is Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi, a church that he helped plant, and his words in this letter are so powerful, and you could really sense the love and the passion that he has for this church in Philippi, and they convey his love and deep passion for the church as he's writing this letter in his while he's in prison. So I want us to read a few verses 3 to 11, and we shall go from there. Would you read with me together? I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer before we begin? God, we thank you for your loving presence that is residing so faithfully, so evidently in this house, God. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I pray for just everyone that is gathered here, Lord. Whether a longtime believer or a first-time believer or even a visitor to this church, God. God, we humble ourselves. God, we open up our hearts, God. God, we unpack the baggage that we carry in our lives, God. God, we long to be ministered by you, Lord. Would you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive all that you're ready to impart to us this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So the World Series is going on right now. How many of you guys watch baseball? Anyone from the States? All right. Any Dodger fans in the house? Three, yes, yes. Any Boston Red Sox fans? Raise your hands. Good, they know better not to come and join us today. So, I'm a little biased, but I come from LA, so I'm eager to win this World Series, and it's going to happen, I believe it. Why? God cheers for the Dodgers to win. I don't assume all of you guys to be baseball fans, but in baseball, when a guy throws out the first pitch and also continues to throw at the last pitch, it's called a complete game. One pitcher pitches from the beginning and all the way to the end. And this is really a mark of an ace when the pitcher is able to start the game as well as finishing the game. And the ability to throw a complete game is what separates the good from the rest of the field. And it really hardly ever happens nowadays. Just two complete games were thrown this season. It's pretty incredible. Eight different pitchers completed this feat, and just eight pitchers, and it's becoming a lost art. Just about 10 years ago, 10 complete games were thrown by C.C. Sabathia, now a longtime Yankee. 20 years ago, a pitcher named Curt Schilling threw 16 complete games. So now it's becoming a rarity here. You know, back in the day, the pitchers were expected to finish the game, which they started. You start, you get the ball, and you don't come off the mound until you finish the game itself. These days, we pay the pitchers, you know, $20, $30 million to start games, but not necessarily finish them. Finishing is, again, as I mentioned, is really rare. In baseball, they have come up with this whole terminology called quality start. You know, some of you guys are getting bored right now, sports talk, but bear with me just for a little bit. Quality start is that all you have to do as a pitcher, you pitch six innings. How many innings are there in the game of baseball? So you pitch two-thirds of the game, and you give up less than three runs, just six innings. You don't have to finish it. When you do that, you're given a quality start. And as a starter, starting pitcher, like that means, hey, job well done, and you don't have to do any more. You're not expected to do any more than that. That's a quality game. Now come off the mound. And they came up with this whole new concept called the bullpen, meaning relief pitchers. They're five, six pitchers waiting in the bullpen to go in whenever the starting pitcher is in trouble to relieve them from the trouble that they're in. This whole system of the bullpen. Can you imagine for pastors to have relief preachers? Like right now, I don't know how well I'm doing right now as I'm preaching this message, but can you imagine, like, your jokes aren't working, you're not really connecting, the Holy Spirit of God has abandoned you for the time of your preaching, and you're just like, you know, you just call time out right now, like, you get, and the next pastor comes, finish the sermon. You know, even when you have done a good job, there's another pastor waiting in the bullpen to relieve you all the trouble. It sounds like a pretty good idea in some of the areas in our lives. If you're a student, you're in the middle of taking the test, you know, you just don't have it. Time out, someone else comes in, finish the test. What if for us husbands, right, we're in an argument with our wives, it's just not getting anywhere. The more you talk, like you just know it's not going anywhere. Time out, relief husband comes. I mean, you cannot put a price tag on that. You know, life is not about how you start. It's about how you finish. You know, as people of God, we often find ourselves in so much trouble. And we find ourselves in just kind of trapped in this moment of, like, we're so wanting to do well, but yet things don't go well, and we find ourselves troubled, whether it be in school, jobs, relationships. We're always struggling to finish what was started. You know, but there's good news. There's actually great news. The great thing about the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ is that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Meaning we have a God who is the greatest closer. Not only does he start the game for us, not only does he start, but he always, always finishes. So today I want to just invite you to look with me into the passage that we have just read in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse specifically focusing on verse 6. And I want us to just go through one word, one phrase at a time for us to really, really rest in this wonderful promise of God that comes through this passage. First word, he. Say it with me, he. He. Turn to your neighbor and say, he. He. This is the most important word in this sentence, I believe. Believe it or not, Paul does not say that I am convinced that you or I who began a good work, but he says, he emphasizes and he reminds us that it is he who began a good work in us. We must understand the background of this text. When Paul is conveying these words, and we need to really understand the impact behind this meaning here. You see, Paul never planned to go to Philippi. He never intended to even plant a church in the city of Philippi. He actually desired, if you read the book of Acts chapter 16, he really wanted to go to Palestine. He really wanted to go where Jesus had ministered. So his heart belonged somewhere else. But the Spirit of God comes and God conveys clearly that he was to relocate and he was to go to Macedonia. So Paul is in a new place and he hadn't really planned on being there. So Paul, upon arriving to the city, he's looking for a place to pray, not even a synagogue, the scriptures tell us in Acts chapter 16. So he's kind of looking around, no place to pray. So what does he end up doing? He ends up preaching in open air. So he had not intended to do this, but he ends up preaching, kind of having a minute service. And one of the people in the audience which had heard the preaching of Apostle Paul was a lady named Lydia. Remember Lydia? So Lydia was in the crowd. She was a Gentile woman, a Greek woman, a businesswoman indeed, who happened to listen to Paul's message. And verse 15 of Acts chapter 16 tells us that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Guys, Lydia becomes the beginning of the church in Philippi. You know what else? The church in Philippi is actually the beginning of the church in entire Europe. Paul had not planned on being there in the beginning. You think of this impact, the first time the gospel is ever preached or ever proclaimed in the whole continent of Europe. You know who did this? You know who planned this? How could this be possible? You see, God did this. God was up to something in them, and God is up to something in you as well. Paul begins this incredible letter by saying, "He who began a good work, he," you know, "you did not start yourself. You did not make your body. You did not design your genes. You did not convict yourself to sin. You did not draw yourself to God. It was all God." You know, what's so great about living your life for and in God is that he is working. And we ought to really be glad that it is he that is working, because he's got the power. He's got the power to turn water into wine. He's got the power to calm the water. And when there's a storm, he's got the power for you to enable to walk on water, to split the sea, to change the heart of Pharaoh, to heal the skin of a leper, to change the mind of Nebuchadnezzar, to deliver Israel from Egypt, deliver Elijah from Jezebel. And he's got the power to keep his promises. He's got enough power to come in a little body like yours and mine. And then when they try to kill him and keep him down, guess what? He had the power to roll away the stones and resurrect. He is our Lord, our Savior, our Father. How much power does God have? God has all the power you need. Who is pitching? God is pitching. What's he got? He's got power. He's got all the power. Paul does not say, "You who began a work." He says, "He who began a good work." Amen? Next word is began. Say with me, began. He who began. Imagine that you are God's building. In fact, we don't have to imagine. The scriptures tell us that we are indeed God's building. You are God's building, and guess what, friends? He is building you. Let me just say that again. God is building you. You know what that means? You ain't finished yet. You're not done yet. God is not done with you. And that is great news for us. I don't know how many of you guys have been to L.A. Anyone from L.A.? Okay, good. Hey, you're repping Dodger Blue right there, okay? Is that your wife? You need to pray for them, man, because my wife always says there's no peace when our sports teams lose. So you want peace in your house, you need to pray for that man, right? And I'm gonna exercise the spiritual giftness of patience, and I'm not going to ask for the scores, okay? If you're on the phone, get off the phone, man. Anyways, some of you guys who are from L.A., you know this. Some of you guys who have traveled through L.A., you know this. LAX, right? I mean, LAX is always under construction. It's always under construction. So just a few days ago, my wife was driving to the airport to drop me off to come here. And she was like, there's massive traffic. There's construction still happening. And she like looks over and like, man, I hate this place. She was really emotional. Like, man, I hate this place. This place is always under construction. So much traffic. There's always stuff going on. And I don't know what it was. One of the moments that I just came up with something really smart, right? I looked over and said, hey, maybe it's a good thing that it's not finished. It means that it's always getting better. And she looked at me, and I knew that I had her, right? It's like, and I could see her trying to be nice to me. It's like just shaking her head. You know, Oftentimes, the thing that we wrestle with the most, that it's not done, perhaps that is the greatest news. The fact that God is not done working in our lives, that should be the greatest encouragement for all of us. Because the moment you want God to finish his work, you're essentially saying that, you're saying that God to stop working in you, meaning that there's no room anymore for you to grow. There's no more room for you to be better. So if we want to be better, if we want God to work in greater capacity in our lives, we should never, as people of God, desire God to be done with us. Amen. God who began a good work, God simply began his good work in all of us. There is a greater ending. There is a greater plan and greater scheme for you to become the person that God wants you to be. But our problem is often that we're too anxious to be done. We want to hurry up and be able to look back and sit back and enjoy. We as Christians are guilty of this. We say, God, would you hurry up? And some of us pray for patience. How many of you guys know that God does not answer your prayer of patience? So I'm just giving you an advice. Never pray for patience, because God will only allow circumstances which you would have to endure to learn what patience means. Right? God is saying, I've only begun my good work and I've not yet finished. I've just started. Meaning you are work in progress. Problems will be here. You do not get to know the end of your story. Your world will be shattered at times. Your heart will be broken. You will get things wrong, and you will experience failure while waiting. But the good news is that God is not done with you. You know, we don't like to wait, do we? We are a hurrying, microwaving, express lane shopping, carpool laning, FedExing, horn honking, fast food eating, mouse clicking. We're an impatient generation. Some of you are Koreans in here. We carry this essence in our vocabulary. We say, 빨리빨리, right? We say, God, 빨리 is not enough. We have to say twice, 빨리빨리, right? We're so impatient, you know? And there's a good amount of anxiety, and of our anxiety and worries, because of this chasm of where we are versus where we want to be. We're always pressed in this regard. There's something that goes on while waiting, though. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 tells us that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and they shall not be faint. So some of you guys in places of waiting today, can I encourage you? Can I charge you to continue to wait? May I submit to you an encouragement from the Lord today? And he says, who you become while you're waiting is just as important as what you're waiting for. God who began a good work. It is God who began. And God has simply begun his work in you. Next word. Good work. Say it with me. Good work. Good work. God who began a good work. How many of you guys know that God only does good work? Amen? What's so great about the gospel is that God in his nature is not capable of doing anything that is bad. God has begun a good work in you. Can you accept that? It is his good work, meaning God is incapable of failing at anything. How many of you guys are having a good day today? If you're not, I pray for you. It's only been a few hours since the day started. I promise you, God promises that your day will continue to get better. How many of you guys know that God does not have bad days? God never has bad days. God never is off his rhythm. You know? How many of you guys, you know, one of my favorite shirts that I like to wear is that it says closed on Mondays. You guys know that pastors, for Mondays are our Sabbath. Mondays, we unplug. Mondays, we stop answering calls. Mondays, we like to be ourselves. For me, I'm an introvert by nature, so I don't talk to anybody. I just stay home. I just cut all contact, and I love it. Closed on Mondays. But sometimes in church gatherings, I wear this shirt because I want my congregation to know that on Monday, you don't bother me. So I wear this shirt closed on Mondays, right? But most of you guys, I'm assuming that you guys dread Mondays, right? Because that's the beginning of your work week. Perhaps not, huh? You guys, okay, maybe we'll move on to the next example. How many of you guys know that God does not have Mondays either? For God, it's every day is Sunday for him. Every day is the Lord's day. Amen? God in his nature cannot fail. God in his nature cannot do anything other than what is good. Matthew 7, verses 9 and on, it says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." God only can and God only does good work. God is committed to seeing your marriage being restored, sickness and disease to be removed, poverty to be eradicated, sex trafficking to end, for the Christian church to be the beacon of light and become synonymous with the word hope in this world, to be able to speak only the truth. You see, he who began a good work. Amen, church? Next part is this. In you. He who began a good work in you. You know, it gets personal here now. God is not just talking about Israel, good work in Jesus or Paul or in the church of Philippi, but he's also speaking to you. And you need to understand that God begins good work in you. Not the church, not in Paul, not your pastor, not the spiritual church, not the church leaders, but remember this promise. God has begun a good work in you. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, God has begun a good work in you." You know, God has a customized plan for all of us. There is no point of deflecting and pushing it out, of rejecting this promise for you. It is personal and it is special. For some of you, for whatever reasons, you have rejected this promise of God for you, saying this and that. You keep looking over your shoulder. You compare it with your friends, neighbors, and other church members, and you willfully reject over and over again that God is doing a good work in you. And this is something that is also challenging for me, because it's so easy for us to compare ourselves to the spiritual journeys of our friends and even those people that we love. And this taxes us. This drains us. And we need to really be reminded that God is doing a good work in us. And God is committed to finishing that work in all of us. And for me as a pastor, you know, I've been in ministry, as I conveyed to you earlier, almost 20 years. And it's really tough. And there are many moments in life where I have to remind myself that God is the one that has called me. God is the one leading me at every turn of my life. And I need to really receive that promise with incredible faith. You know, as Pastor Sam shared, that my church is a little less than 4 years old. And I never, ever in my life imagined that I would plant a church. My wife, I don't know if she was trying to encourage me or threaten me. So when we came back from the mission field and she said, "Scott, I will follow you back to Afghanistan." Some of you guys have maybe been there. It's not a safe place. It's a very difficult place. She said, "Scott, I will follow you back to Afghanistan before I follow you to church plant." So being really encouraged by this or threatened by this, so And I was really good, so I never even dreamed of planting a church. But over the course of years, and God has just stirred in our hearts, and God has really moved not only in my heart, but in my wife's heart as well. And God finally led us to this journey of planting a church 4 years ago. Man, I was really scared. I mean, it was really, really hard. I had never done this before. And we just had a really small group of people that are crazy enough to, let's say, okay, Scott, let's do it. And God had confirmed in their hearts as well. So, and after about 4 years, man, it's pretty tough, you know. There are many struggles that I'm facing as a church planter, and there are many issues in the church that could be challenging as well. You know, at moments we can be sad, but we keep reminding ourselves that we're exactly where we are because God has led us here. We remind ourselves it wasn't us that we made a decision to be where we are. That as long as we're committed to obeying the word of God, that we have to be faithful. We have to be fair to ourselves. That would God release us to something that he wouldn't be faithful in? You know? And we wrestle with this, and we continue to labor in prayer and pursuing God, that God will continue to reveal his purpose and will for us. And I remind myself, God has a wonderful promise and plan for me. And I want to just encourage you today. Maybe you're that someone today in your life. When you look around, you feel like, man, everyone else is praising God. Everyone else is content in their own lives. Everyone else is living with this incredible promise. And you compare, it's like, man, kind of feeling like, man, this promise isn't that good. This plan that God has for me is not as good. But I want to remind you, he has a wonderful, wonderful plan and promise for you. Remember the promise of Jeremiah 29:11, and never lose that. Amen. Fifth point. He who began a good work in me, God has... He will be faithful to carry it unto completion. Psalm 33, verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does." Do you understand what this means? He can't do anything else. Faithfulness is all he knows and all he does. Finishing, closing out games is all God does. He's the guy you want to take the last shot to beat the buzzer. He's the guy you want to send in to strike out the side in the bottom of the ninth, or facing the pitcher with a chance at a walk-off home run. He's the guy who will never fail to come down with the ball when you throw a Hail Mary. God will close the deal. He is the finisher. Whatever God has started, it already has an ending. Your life, your future, God is faithful. Isaiah 55, verse 11, one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible, says this: "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." And I love that word. And 2 Timothy 2 tells us, "Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Faithful, for he cannot disown himself." This is our God. Our God is faithful. Again, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Just one more phrase, church. Until the day of Christ Jesus. And this is the last point that I want to make. Paul lays out where the finish line is. You keep going, and this was a popular notion. Paul does not say that our end is on the day of our death, our last breath. He doesn't say that. He says on the day of Christ when he returns in the fullness of his glory. Whatever you are going through, it is just a small part of the big picture. Jesus is coming back as Lord. He will resurrect. He will redeem. He will heal and he will fix all of this mess, hurt, and brokenness. You know why? Because your game did not start on the day that you were born. And it will certainly not end on the day that you will pass. Because Jesus is coming back. He is in the bullpen. He's the starter. He's the closer. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the author of our faith. He's a perfecter of our faith. And one day, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And God says, your work, my work that I've begun in you will be finished when my Son returns in his glorious return. So church, God has no intention of giving up now. God has no intention of stopping now. Because that day is coming. So whatever you do, don't quit now. Whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, you do not give up. Stand firm. Let's hear the words of Apostle Paul again. Verse 3 and on. And these were actually the words that I prayed over and over again in my anticipation of meeting all of you. I knew of no names. I had seen no faces of this church, but these words that Apostle conveyed, I pray these words for you. So please allow me to share these words with you for one last time. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just really want to encourage you today. No, God wants to encourage you today. Be confident of his wonderful promise for you and to you. That day is coming, so whatever you do, don't quit now. Don't give up. Don't quit. Now is not the time to stop. And I just really feel that some of you need to hear these words. Don't stop. Don't quit. Now is not the time. So may you be encouraged. May you be full of strength today. For God is faithful to keep his promises to you. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for allowing us to rest in your wonderful promises. And God, I just pray for my friends that I need to be restored of your good plan and your purposes for their lives. Those who may be looking for courage to seek you in the places of discouragement and hopelessness. And even those that need to experience your love and to accept you into their lives for the first time ever. I just pray that you just unload your favor and your presence today, God. Help us to release the things that we have held on to more strongly than the grip that we have on you. God, I pray that you take full control over all of our lives today and help us to rest in that, God. God, we are no longer anxious. God, we are no longer fearful of what we cannot see or what we do not know yet. But God, we are confident. We are full of courage because we know that it is you who began a good work. God, though we are a work in progress, we understand that you will be faithful, so faithful to complete it, God. So God, we thank you. Would you continue to speak to your people in this congregation? We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing this as a response. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I come to know
close our eyes this moment, and I just want to just give us an opportunity just to respond to just a wonderful message. Maybe you're in a place today like Pastor Scott said, and you feel a little stuck. You feel like, man, Lord, you began this work, but man, it's just going so slow. Or you began this work, but it's so difficult. Is there a finish line? And we just want to just pray for you and with you and for you just for a moment. And so if you're in this place and you're saying, honestly, like, P-Sam, I really resonate with the message, and it's really speaking to me right now, but I just want some encouragement. Can I invite you guys, your eyes closed, can you just lift your hand to the Lord right now? Just lift it up there. It's nice and easy. Okay, you know how we do, church, huh? If you guys have your hands lifted up, you just stay in that place. You just begin to seek the Lord. Now, the rest of us who don't have our hands lifted up, let's look around our church and let's see our brothers and sisters around us that are asking for prayer. They're asking for people to stand alongside of them. They're asking for that encouragement. And so I want us to move around. Let's find our people and just pray over them. And I just give you permission, prophesy over them. Sing over them. Pray over them. Just love on them right now. And you guys, that as soon as you feel some hands on you, you can put your hand down and just begin to receive from the Lord right now. Come on, let's lift up our church, guys. Let's pray for our friends right now. Lord, I just pray for my friends, God, that had the courage, Lord, just to raise their hand. And God, for whatever reason, there's stories there, God. They're stuck, Lord. They are waiting, God. But I pray right now, Lord, as our church family has been lifting them up, God, that right now let them feel your affection, Lord. God, let them know that you've not forgotten about them or their situation. God, let them know that you're with them, God, that you are for them, Lord. And let them experience the grace, God, of your love right now in this place. Fill them up, God, from head to toe. I pray, God, for that spirit of encouragement, Lord, as begin to flood their hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let them experience your love, God. Thank you that you're still writing our story, God. That you're still building us, Lord. And give them perspective, Father, to see beyond their present circumstance, to see what you're doing, God, and encourage them. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Would you hug someone next to you? If you want to continue to pray, please do. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you guys. Let's pray this week, especially men. Let's pray this week for our ladies as they go off to the retreat next weekend. Have a wonderful time.